Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and I'm here to bring you some OTA notes from today's practice, 5/28/25. The first that was open to the media, and they announced also that there will be additional practices open to the media, so looking forward to that over the next 2 weeks. So the first thing is the players who actually attend these, because they're non-mandatory. You can't force players to attend. The big one, Lamar Jackson, was there today. And that is big news, and I think it sends a message to the rest of the team, too, that he's there. There were some players absent. Emory Jones was there, but not in uniform, still working through the labrum injury, which is supposed to keep him out until camp. At least that's the way it's been talked about. Whenever I hear something like that, and it's a serious injury, like a shoulder injury for an offensive lineman, I think that could be longer. But anyway, he was there. That was good to see. Spent a lot of time with Juan Castillo, just standing next to him and trying to maybe soak in some offensive line knowledge there. Daniel Falele apparently is working through some sort of physical issue. John Harbaugh mentioned that at the podium, but he was noticeably absent because he's obviously huge, and you notice him when he's on the field. Jake Hummel, the new special teams linebacker the Ravens brought in, was not there. I assume that's an option case where he's taking the option not to show up because, hey, it's not mandatory. Kyle Van Noy, same thing. Was not there. And my understanding is that's the norm for Van Noy. In past years, he hasn't been there for OTAs as well. Ardarius Washington, obviously the other notable injury, and he's got a Achilles tear that John Harbaugh did address during his time at the podium. He said that it was a clean tear of the Achilles. He'll be back, Ardarius says he'll be back in November. John is thinking November or December. I don't see any way the Ravens would use one of two non-season-ending IR spots on Ardarius, given the limited amount of time and the potential for reduced quality of play that they'd have him back for. But I guess that's conceivable if their depth holds up everywhere else, that they'd use a spot on him there. Much more likely he's lost for the season. Let's talk about some of the offensive standouts. Lamar Jackson was extremely accurate today, and that is nice to see. We've often seen Lamar come in, kind of a feeling out process, doesn't have the tremendous accuracy that first day, but he threw some beautiful balls, dropped them in the bucket, threw some nice line drives in the middle of the field to the tight ends in particular. DeAndre Hopkins, good job connecting with Lamar, I thought, in this one. He continues this connection with the tight ends he's got going, who were a big focus of this practice as well. I dropped in a nice ball over the top to, was it Wester? That's way, actually Dayton Wade threw a long ball too, so that was nice. Looks really in shape. All right, so not carrying any additional fat. He looks like he's trying to maintain the athlete he was last year, be as elusive and fast as he can be. Moving on, Keaton Mitchell looked physically in very nice shape. He had a big burst, one run. He had a nice single cut, really reversed his field by more than the single cut in his own blocking scheme that you get used to. But this was more like a full half field reversal, and a nice run, nice bounce in his movement. Then he followed that up with a very nice double move to win down the right sideline on a wheel route. Harbaugh called it a rail route, which may have some different meaning. I've got to look that up to see how that's different from a wheel route, but it looked to me like it was a kind of the standard you'd see for that. But really good job from Keaton in terms of getting in position. Ball was dropped in right where it was supposed to be. Keaton caught the ball over his shoulder, and really nice play. One of the standout plays from today. Everybody's, of course, wondering about the Ravens' new receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. He showed off a very big catch radius today. One of his first catches, he went down to the ground to catch a 5-yard pass between the left hash and the numbers. Then just a couple of minutes later, he went up high for a catch by the right sideline. And, big hands collecting it and toe-tapping inbounds for a nice grab, one of the good ones of the day. Hopkins and Lamar already seem to be on the same page in a lot of ways. So that's going to be good to see. He's certainly someone that will be a great replacement for Nelson Aguilar, and it might be a replacement plus for Nelson Aguilar, who had a good connection with Lamar as well. But I don't think anybody would say Aguilar has the receiving talent that that Hopkins has. We saw some flash from LaJonte Wester, who caught a deep ball and was around the field, had another catch that was short, looked like he was trying to be elusive. Looks like the Ravens might certainly get him involved as a gadget player and also as a deep threat, which is very good. You want to have a multi-purpose role like that. We've talked about this summer in a lot of the expectation series that LaJonte Wester is a guy who is going to be on the roster on a weekly basis for his punt return duties. I can't see another player who's likely to take that away from him. I suppose it's possible Tylan Wallace could win the job, or that Longer Beam or one of the other defensive backs is a guy who they want to have doing it. But it looks like Wester has got the job to me. Wester showed up really well as a receiver. They were indoors. They didn't do any punt drills today. Not sure if they can or not. They can probably shoot the ball out of a jugs gun, but they didn't try to do any of that. So indoor practice and unpadded, very rainy outdoors. For once, we're actually happy to be indoors. It's a little sidelight for what it means to be a member of the media when you're indoors. The sight lines there absolutely suck. They could not suck worse than being indoors. You're basically standing on the same flat ground. When you're outside, even though you have to stand up for the entire practice and there's no bleachers or anything there right at this point in the year, you can stand on the hill and it gives you a better perspective of what's going on, and you get a much better sight lines there. Additionally, there's a problem that the Ravens crowd all of the reporting, all the media, into a fairly small area. So there's not enough horizontal space along the small portion of the field that they crowd the media into for everybody to sit, one in a line kind of thing. So you're forced to sit, stand a couple of deep, and that can be somewhat difficult. Love the, be able to go to practices, but indoor practices are my least favorite, to be honest, of that. Yeah, I think you end up being able to see much less when you're at this. So we mentioned LaJonte Wester. Tez Walker had a near accident. He caught a TD pass from Cooper Rush. It was all over Roger Longerbeam. Longerbeam had kind of a tough day in coverage, I'd say, today. And then he ran through the kind of the media area and he crashed into a door pretty hard. It looked like the contact was fairly significant. It wasn't a really loud collision or anything. Longerbeam also ran through the group. Jonah Schaefer, of course, got up and was feigning injury and whatnot, but that was all part of the gag here. Nice to see Walker catch the football. He got open in another 11 on colors drill for basically the same touchdown pass that he caught last year. Basically a 20-yard throw to kind of to the middle or back of the end zone where he was behind the defense. Of course, the colors drill means there are a bunch of interns and other people that the Ravens have hired that have in their hand a script of paper and wear a color jersey to show what position they're playing. And all they're really doing is showing the offense a formation on defense, and they have to try and read it and exploit it on the play. But needless to say, they're about as useful as traffic cones on defense, and they're not attempting to contest any plays when they're out there. Let's see. Dayton Wade caught a 40-yard ball that was over Marlon Humphrey. Marlon, I don't think there's anything wrong with Marlon's day, by the way. He had nice bracket coverage where he had the back end of it on the left sideline on one play. he had another play where he's underneath, and I think he probably could have contested the football, but Marlon Humphrey is a savvy veteran. He doesn't attempt to get into physical confrontations at this point in the year. And that was nice to see today. I didn't think there was any of that. There was one piece of contact where two players went down, and then there was the Tez Walker running through the end zone and through the media thing, which was honestly probably more of a concern for the media than it was for Walker. But there was one other two players going to the ground. I think Lowry, number 30, the defensive back, was involved. And I'm not sure who else was it. Reuben Lowry was the corner who I believe went to the ground on that play. Going to the offensive line, there was some changes that I didn't completely expect. So the first thing I think is that if Andrew Fa'alele is going to miss the day, that we're probably going to see Cleveland on the right side. But we really saw Cleveland mostly playing a lot of left guard today. And we saw Voorhees also some of that time at left guard. But Cleveland seems to have a more prominent role than I would have expected. So we'll see if that continues as OTAs continue. And if you think back a couple of years to Saleh being at OTAs and almost being handed the left guard job on a silver platter that did not end up materializing, of course, that was another kind of similarly surprising thing. Cleveland's case, there are lots of reasons why you might want him to be the starting left guard, but it doesn't look like necessarily like Voorhees is way ahead of him at this point. So we'll see how that plays out. On the right guard, at the right guard spot, there was a lot of Nick Samak. So I wasn't expecting that. You know, I'd expect Cleveland. Maybe I'd expect me to see more of Garrett Dellinger, maybe get a chance with the ones. And it just didn't happen. It was Samak, who's really a center more than anything else, really has center size about him. But he was in there at right guard a fair amount today. All right, switching over to the defensive side of the ball, there were some good things. Roquan Smith covered a wheel route intended for Justice Hill, got a PD on the play. Ball might have been a little underthrown. It was down the right sideline, probably 25 yards. Just very impressive that Roquan was able to stay with Justice Hill to cover that route. And so it was probably the standout defensive play of the day. If I had to pick one other, I like the fact that Teddy Buchanan had excellent coverage of Rasheen Ali in the end zone on a play that ended up being blown dead. The ball was spotted me around the 20 to 25 yard line, thrown into the end zone. Not thrown at all, but Buchanan covered Ali into the end zone. And, you know, Ali then tried to hook back towards the quarterback. No, nothing doing. Buchanan was right there. And Lamar had to basically eat the football as it was blown dead. Mike Green. Everybody wants to know about Mike Green, of course. He lined up on both sides today. So we saw him some at Rush, some at Sam. Really good to see the Ravens testing him for multiple positions. And he's a guy who I would expect as a rookie is going to play mostly on the Rush side. But you have Adafi Owe there, and we'll get to more on him later. But that Rush side on obvious passing downs is probably already taken. And Mike Green, they'll have to figure out how to get him in the lineup on a rotational basis or possibly playing multiple positions to split that pass rush responsibility three ways. So anyway.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
But nice to see him doing well at camp. Generally, he was praised by Adafi Owe as being twitchy and quick. But we have to see live fire to get any real sense of running back burst, edge rushers, what defensive linemen can really do, how well offensive linemen are really doing versus live play. So we'll wait. They are going to have a couple joint practices, which I'll get to later about that. Aside from Green, Tampa, TJ Tampa saw time at left corner And then he saw he had, when he got put in at left corner, one of the interesting things to me was that Nate Wiggins moved to right corner. So you have a lack of, there's no reluctance to move Wiggins to another spot. And that, what that I hope tells me is that Wiggins is going to basically play every snap this year, whether he's on the left side, on the right side, he's in the lineup and he'll move as necessary, but it's not something you have to concern about him being put into a rotational role. Now, part of that also might've had to do with the fact that Chidobe Awuzie mispractices with the sickness. So the number one cornerback group was already playing a little light, and it might've been a case that, Wiggins, he wouldn't normally move in that way. As predicted, we saw a lot of both Bo Braid and Sanusi Kane on the back end. They're just short on safeties right now, and we're seeing each of them get some chances to play back there. They were out there together at times. Sanusi was sometimes out there in a kind of a single high look. But anyway, it's something that I think we're we'll probably see what we see for the rest of camp. I think the Ravens have a move to come yet. They may need to wait until after June 1st for roster purposes, but they have a another safety that they probably really want to pick up before camp. It's really hard to tell who the bottom of the 90-man roster is, because it's probably about four guys who would fit that description right now. The team's carrying two kickers for one thing. They've got some extra outside linebackers that I think at some point, one of them might be allowed to walk. They have extra receivers, so they've got some veteran guys, and Dayton Wade again behind the big six who are likely to make the roster. So it's hard to tell who that last player who might be out is. And I think the Ravens are kind of hoping to kick the can down the road, maybe have it determined by an injury or something, that they get an extra spot to accrue from that. And they're not hoping for that, but they think it might resolve itself, and they don't want to lose a player when they might gain the spot via injury. So there was some question about the presence of John Jenkins. Now, John Jenkins was not actually there. There was somebody wearing number 97, and there was no number 97 on the roster. So the thought was that was Jenkins, but it turned out Okoye, the nose tackle, is wearing number 97. He's, like Jenkins, absolutely huge. Unlike Jenkins, he's fairly young. And Jenkins, Harbaugh made clear, would be signed after June 1st, when the Michael Pierce release becomes official. Now, Michael Pierce is retired from the NFL and whatnot, but he's signed until June 1st, so that the Ravens did not have to use one of their pre-June 1 cap cuts. And in particular, that was important because they had one, a pre-June 1 cut they wanted to designate as post-June 1 in the case of Justin Tucker. So, Marcus Williams would have, potentially been in the same situation. I think Marcus actually has been released now as part of a post-June 1 designation version. You get two, I believe, per year of those. All right. We saw John Hoyland do some kicking today. Now, apparently Tyler Loop kicked yesterday. John Hoyland was the one kicking today. Some interesting drills. The team's down at the other end of the field, and you're still in a relatively small indoor facility. And at the other end of the field, at the field opposite where some 11-on-11 run drills were occurring, they did a little bit of line drill work with John Hoyland. And the point of the line drill is to kick the ball directly down the end line. And we'll see a Randy Brown take a knee there about halfway across the field and look and see, presumably, what the rotation of the football is like. Is the football drifting left to right or right to left? And I think, from my observations, I think there's a pretty significant amount of drift from Hoyland from right to left. So not sure that he has a great chance to beat out Luke, but certainly not an ideal situation for a kicker to be doing that. He's a guy who might also be towards the bottom of the roster. Also wouldn't surprise me, by the way, if Hoyland goes to another team and turns into a kicker of the ilk of a number of the other outstanding kickers that the Ravens have had in camp and that helped move on to another team. So anyway, John Hoyland, we got a chance to see a little bit of him. We'll talk about the podium time a little bit. John Harbaugh had the most news, really, really some interesting stuff he was talking about. He said he was happy with the turnout. That's a good thing. Lamar threw the ball well. We knew that. But the turnout was really something special. OTAs often will have 7-8 people that don't show up, possibly because Lamar was there for this day. May have been a case of Lamar being there because the media had access. They didn't have access yesterday, so it could be a case where he wasn't here for a non-access day. But he looked good, and that was probably the highlight of practice. When your quarterback's throwing well, everything else seems to fall into place. He answered questions about Keaton Mitchell's burst. Said they would have a one-day joint practice versus the Colts prior to week one and another one with the Commanders prior to week three of the preseason. Now, we haven't had that happen ever before, so this is a new thing. It seems like a very good idea. It certainly will add a highly competitive padded practice to the preseason schedule, which I think is probably a positive thing overall. He talked about Odafe Owe being bigger and stronger. I'll get to some of that with Owe's comments about the podium. He talked about Adarius Washington and the injury. He talked about Awuzie being sick and Falele working through a physical problem. So Harbs had some things to say today, and there was real information there to be had. But I think the most interesting thing are the two separate one-day padded practice that we're going to see against the Colts and Commanders. Mark Andrews came to the podium. Now, he got lots of questions about the aftermath from the loss at Buffalo. What went through your mind? What were your feelings? How did you process the loss and the drop and this? And he did as good a job as he could, not ducking those questions, being statesmanlike, and also, I think, really trying to provide meaningful information on that thing. It's a tough thing for an athlete to fail. Most of them have not. Particularly the ones who haven't had a chance to fail in the NFL, because they've probably succeeded in every level coming up to that if they're playing for the Ravens. But he said he had learned some new ways to keep up from Derrick Henry, keep up with the aging curve, that is. And he had a positive shout out to Monken's creativity. So I asked the question actually of what had Todd Monken added to the offense specifically that had made the tight end so much more successful? And he said some things about being a very creative guy and that a creative mind, actually, I think it was. The actual interview is out there. I don't need to go through this question in any great detail, but he obviously was, I think, very thankful that Monken was the coordinator. It certainly has been better for him since the departure of Flacco. Departure of Roman. All right, let's move on. Odafe Owe. Now this is a big thing. I didn't realize this was happening, but Odafe Owe weighs about 20 pounds more than he did last year. Last year he played at about 245. Now he's at 265, he says. He looks bigger, stronger, thicker, more muscular. Had a lot of focus on gaining weight this offseason. And he was effective at doing it. And hopefully this is a place where I can still get a lost my place here. It was asked about Mike Green as well. And talked about him being quick and twitchy, learning multiple positions. That's nice. Always nice to hear somebody say nice things about other people in the room. Adisa Isaac, similar. Didn't get asked about David Ajabo. He did get asked about his contract situation. Said it was in the back of his mind, but it should take care of himself, which is what they pretty much all say. Mark Andrews got the same question and answered it slightly differently, but just trying to be the best version of myself. All of those things are the things you hear standard. The third guy at the podium was another contract guy and Isaiah Likely. He has a very comfortable presence at the podium. So he kind of walked up, said, you know, hey, why so quiet, everybody? And it's kind of something that players don't like about going to the podium is the uncomfortable silence before the first question. And Mink and Downing are there, and they usually jump in with the first question just to kind of get it started, like game starters at a baccarat table, or try to have to get the game started for somebody else to start asking questions. So they have that. He came up with some T-shirt he's wearing about a softball event they're doing for Special Olympics that's going to be really bragging rights of offense versus defense. The big player, they was asked about that. Nick Moore, and I'd forgotten about this, was a ex-minor league player who apparently will be the center fielder for one of the two teams. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to be divided up, but there was a notion that it was offense versus defense, but Nick Moore being one of the Wolfpack, I'm not sure where he fits in exactly. Now, there were questions about the relationship between Likely and Mark Andrews. He referred to Mark as his big brother. I think everything I heard about Andrews, about Likely, Likely about Andrews, extremely genuine, extremely friendly. It seems to be a very tight, tight end room. Haven't heard the same things about Charlie Kohler, but doesn't mean those aren't true either. It does seem to be a very a group that's extremely close. And he was asked about the trust during the scramble drill. And he said something that I really like. It's my ball or no one's ball. And that's what you want. If you're a quarterback and you want to throw into the teeth of a defense, you want to throw late across the field, you want a receiver with exactly that attitude. So it's good to hear from Isaiah Likely. That is. That's all I have for notes for the first day of OTAs. A lot of fun being out there at the castle, but hopefully the next one will be outdoors, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.